Hi, Trina.
Gloria, how are you? I apologise if this is a terrible interview. I've come down with the worst migraine in the last hour, so I'm going to do my best. But
do you want to reschedule?
No. We'll do it now.
Listen.
If you think that I'm terrible, that's why.
You're not going to be terrible, but first, put your feet in burning hot water, Trina.
Oh, really? Does that work?
Yes. Oh, it's going to draw the blood away from your head, because the migraine is when, like, the vessels release and the blood is rushing through your head. So if you draw it away, it helps. And that was from Dr. Estefan.
How much are you going to charge me? I'm going to get a bill now for this.
Nothing, freebie. I'm the family doctor. Everybody calls me before they call their own doctor.
Well, it's better than doing Dr. Google.
I have two lab coats that have my name that they made me.
Oh, well, Gloria Estefan, it is absolutely amazing to have you on the show, and your music over the years. I mean, we just love you here in Ireland as well. But there's so much I didn't know about your life until it came to this interview, you know, because you just know your music and that. I had no idea, number one, that you've been married to your husband for like a million years, since 1978.
Yes. 42 is a million.
That is kind of unheard of in the business, in show business. What is it that made it work, do you think?
You know what? It feels so fast, first of all. It does not feel like, oh, 42 years. It feels like, oh, I can't believe it's been 42 years. And it's 45 together, because I worked for him for a year and we dated for two. We're going to be married 42 years in September. And my son turns 40 that day. How can I be the mother of a 40-year-old? No.
I know. Well, you don't look it anyway, that's for sure. It was probably something to
do,
Gloria, with the fact that you took his name, so you became Gloria Estefan, and it would be far too much hassle to try and change your name, really, if you split. You know,
yes.
Your whole career is Estefan.
No, you know what? It's been great, because we fell in love with each other. There's no secret. Look, I'll tell you this, and they ask a lot of young people. I say, girls, keep shaving your legs. And boys, keep, you know, opening doors or doing or bringing flowers or doing whatever you do, because you have to still remember that that person is your girlfriend or boyfriend or your love, you know, like your love. Mm. And that part you need to keep very much alive. Things that, you know, kids and things that put a damper or things become more routine. So you have to remember that part and keep that alive, I think.
Yeah.
And I have deep respect for him and admiration, too. And I think it's vice versa. I don't want to speak for him. But, you know, we rarely differ on business or music. We're on the same page in most things. Mm. So that helps, because the less fighting you do, the better it is. Those things wear you down.
Yeah.
But when you do, try not to cross a certain line that, you know, you can never take back. You don't want to, you know, you can forgive, but forgetting is hard sometimes, and those things stay in your brain, so it's best not to go to those places.
Yeah, so those hurtful things that people say, yeah, people can say very hurtful things, you know, in anger that they really don't mean. Yeah, and like you say, it is difficult, you know, when children come along and life changes completely for people. They suddenly have less time for each other. They're busy working. Bills are coming in the door. It can be hard, but you got to get on with it. Can I ask you then, you know, as a mother as well, you had this, and still have this massive music career while being a mom as well. Was it hard to juggle the family life and being this famous singer?
Well, the beauty was that I could bring my family to work with me. So most women don't have that. However, what does that say for me? You know, they're there watching their mommy on the stage, you know, with their little headphones on or whatever. And then later on when they're bigger and they're seeing this bigger than life person. And then when you get off the stage, they want their mommy, you know.
Mm.
I love that, but you're exhausted too. So that's the balance, I think, for me there. But I cannot complain, because I could take my kids with me. I could have both things. When I first started, my son had just started school. He didn't really want to leave Miami. And Emilio stopped performing in the band so he could stay with my son and I could do a short tour. My son was going to do his second communion, Holy Communion, and I had planned my tour all the way around it. And 2 weeks before, the school canceled it. And I was beside myself, and I tried to cancel my shows, and they threatened to sue me. And, you know, we couldn't do that financially at the time, allow that to happen. So I missed. Everybody else was there, but I missed it. And when I came back from that tour, I told Emilio, I go, either we all go or I don't go. Nobody goes.
Mm.
I'm not missing my son's life. That's number one. So
Wow.
And by that time, he was bored with school and wanted to leave. So that was good.
That is what has made it work for you. That's what's made it work. The fact that you always kind of put them first. But yet you still manage to do it all, because some people say, well, I can't bring, you know, look after the children if I'm going to have this career. You can. You've done it.
You know, it's a balance. Yeah. You have to balance. There's times when one thing has to take precedence and there's times when something else does. And the good thing is that Emilio's always been my partner in that. He helps me do whatever it is I need to do.
Yeah.
So when he had to stay home with Naive, stay home, and, you know, he had his parents. They lived with us. It was great. I loved them. So he had help, but still, he has no qualms about doing whatever needs to be done at any moment.
Really?
And me for him.
Uh-huh.
You know, so that is always there. You feel supported. You feel loved. And, you know, after my accident, he was amazing. He was like a rock.
Now, I want to just go back to 1990. The year kicked off brilliantly for you. You had your best-selling album. Then something terrible happened.
Yeah, it was March 20th of 90, actually. March 20th, my niece's birthday, who also lived with us in that house, Lily. She's now a big television personality in the Spanish market. And we were on our way to a concert in Syracuse. I'd been in New York the night before because I wanted to go to Syracuse and rest. And they invited us on our day off from the White House. We had just met President George Bush Sr. He spent 45 minutes talking to our son, Naive. He was the most genuine and wonderful man, and it was a wonderful visit. And then from there, we had a day off, and we stopped in New York for a party that was a very important party for Sony. And then I was on my way straight to the show day in Syracuse on my tour bus with my son, my husband, and my assistant at the time, and the tutor, my son's tutor. And we stopped. I was taking a nap on the front couch, and my son was in the back with his tutor, and we stopped because it was a freak snowstorm in the Poconos, and there was an accident 7 miles ahead of us, so there was a backup on the highway. And then we stopped, and apparently got hit in the back by a fully loaded 18-wheeler, and I was laying on the couch in the front, and I think I bent over backwards over the little table, like the dining set there, and it broke my back, and I was paralyzed. And yeah, that was no fun. They took good care of me. We were there for like an hour and a half before the paramedics could get to us. And you know what's funny? Nowadays, at the time, they didn't know this technology, but nowadays, the first thing they do is put you on ice when you've broken your back or hurt your back. And that day, it was snowing in the bus because the front got torn away, and it sliced the front of the bus. So it was snowing into the bus, and it was freezing.
Yeah.
And it turns out now that that's the best thing that could have happened to me.
Because the cold is actually helping.
Cold.
Oh
yes,
my God.
Exactly. They do that now routinely.
Wow. So how long was the recovery, and what did you have to do? Did you think that you'd be back working, or did you think, no, that's it?
No. Working was not in my... I just wanted to walk. Mm. I wanted to be independent. My father was in a wheelchair. I knew what that meant. And I just wanted to be independent, not be a burden on my family, at least as much as I could. If I ended up in a chair, fine, I'd figure out a way to be the best way I could be in a chair. But I was going to fight my darnest to come back. So they operated me. They flew me to New York, which they kept telling me, oh, it's a risk. And this was a bit scary. But they put me back together. And then 3 weeks later, I think it was, or a month, I don't remember exactly, we came back here. They operated me, by the way, on March 22nd, my mother's birthday. And that was a birthday for her, boy. But
yeah,
well,
yeah,
everything turned out well. And then back home, it was a while. At first, I could only float in the pool. And that was about 3 months after my accident, because at first you can't do anything. I couldn't lift my foot an inch off the floor. I had to start all over from scratch.
Yeah.
And Emilio was there every step of the way. You know, at night I couldn't sleep more than 45 minutes because the pain was excruciating and I couldn't move myself, like change positions. So he would be up trying to, when I could walk well, walk me around a few feet and put me back in a different position. But that was every 45 minutes. He was incredible. In 6 months, I saw my body coming back. And that's when I thought to myself, maybe I became famous for this because I have the opportunity to show people that what you put into the things that happen to you is going to really affect your results. So I would do rehab, like when I worked up to like 6-7 hours a day between exercise and the pool and putting like massage things, biofeedback, heat every day. And then I thought, that's my goal, you know. And the first time I got back on stage was at the American Music Awards in, I think it was January of 91. And then I started my tour on March 1st, 91 in Miami.
Didn't really take a break at all.
Well, that I had to go, and I was still, I was 2 years on the road, and those 2 years were therapy.
Some of the songs that you've released over the years, I mean, we still hear them on the radio all the time. Don't Want to Lose You. I've been watching some of them on YouTube and it's just taking me back. Don't Want to Lose You Now, Anything for You, all these amazing songs, Cuts Both Ways. Is there a favorite in your mind?
No, that's a bad question. how could there be a favorite? I mean, there's so many and they all mean something else. But for example, on this record, on Brazil 305, coming out August 13th. So, well, I guess actually
I knew you should get the plug in. I knew you should get the plug in.
No, but it has songs like Don't Want to Lose You and Cut Both Ways that have been rethought in these super sexy Brazilian rhythms. And it sounds amazing to reapproach these songs and re-sing them after so many years. And when they approached me about doing these hits with these rhythms, to me, it was like such a wonderful and delicious undertaking because I love these rhythms and I knew that these songs were going to sound amazing in them. And it was just going to bring a whole new life. And the fact that I'm singing some of them 30 years after the original, all that life is in there. So it's a different thing. And I've been honing my skills and vocally, I haven't just sat back. I've got a good teacher. Not that I sing every day because that would be a lie.
Do you ever drive around, Gloria, playing your own music?
The only time, and I'm going to confess this, that I have listened to my own music is in Vero Beach. I go on these long hour and a half bike rides. And only recently, because we have the album coming out, I was curious about what my album sounded like as an album, listening to it again. And I'm happy to report that I'm still happy.
Good. It was good research so then you were doing. Yeah.
That was a good... No, and it was interesting to me to see the different things that we've done, something from Mi Tierra to Gloria. That's like, Mi Tierra is totally roots and Gloria is a dance record that doesn't stop, but they're both who I am. It's literally both sides of the coin culturally for me and what I grew up listening to and doing in English and what I can do in Spanish because I sang for my grandmother and my mother and I learned these songs from that long ago Cuba. I knew how the words were constructed, how things were talked about in double entendre in Cuba a lot. So all these things I brought to Mi Tierra, so and our mix, which is both of those things.
Just going back, when you decided you wanted to go into the music business, how did the family feel? Because wasn't there a story about your grandfather didn't want your mother to do a movie and he kind of stopped her in her tracks?
Yes.
What was that story about?
Well, they had told him only one parent could go to Hollywood. My mother won a contest to be Shirley Temple's double. Shirley Temple was a very famous actress worldwide, child star. And she was going to dub her movies in Spanish and go to Hollywood and be a body double. She had the curls. She had the whole thing. And when they told my grandfather, one of them would have to give the lead to their daughter because the studio didn't want a kid under contract to be caught in a divorce scuffle. And he put his foot down. He said no daughter of his was going to. He didn't like the idea of her in the business. My grandmother, on the other hand, was a stage mother.
Was she? Yeah.
She was super supportive. And she was my stage mother. As a kid would tell me, you know, this is your gift. You have to share it. And no matter how you try to, you know, not do it, I didn't think I'd end up doing this. But I think since I talk, it was natural to me. So my grandmother would say, I hope you're smart enough to realize. So I didn't decide to be in the industry. The industry kind of found me. He was this boy with his band that he had a band from Cuba. And he started with his own accordion and it grew into a band. And he had a full-time job at Bacardi. His parents had a clothing factory that he had gotten for them so they would have a business. And, you know, his band was his outlet. He loved music, and so did I. And for me to join his band, I used to love being in the rehearsals and just putting arrangements together and having musicians and growing something and seeing it and then singing to it.
Yeah.
The performing part I had to get through. It was hard for me at the beginning a lot.
Was it? Were you nervous on stage and everything?
Oh, hell yes. I would clutch the mic there. When I would sing for my mom and her friends and she would drag me out of my bedroom and make her play my guitar and sing for her friends and they would cry. And then I'd go, but why do you make me sing if they cry? She goes, you're moving them. It's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's a good thing, you know, because a lot of my emotion was, you know, channeled through my voice for me. So it was, you know, always a part of me. But I didn't think of it as a business.
And did you
my cousin Mercy and I sent a tape to Ed Sullivan of all people because she wanted to be in the business, and we were kind of a duo. We sang harmony and we called ourselves the Foreign Import. That's why our publishing is called Foreign Imported Production.
So did you ever have another job apart from the music industry because you were so young when you started?
I did. I had a college work study job because I was going to start school in September. I met Emilio in May. I met Emilio in May at that friend of ours house. And then I saw him at that wedding sometime in the summer that my mom dragged me to, and his band was playing. And we recognized each other from the previous place, my friend's house, where he came to give us some pointers to get a band together for one night that my friend wanted to do for his parents. He asked me to sit in with the band that night in the summer. And then I had started working in the summer because since French was my minor, there was a college work study job available at the airport that was a county job, and you had to pass a test and stuff in immigration and customs. So I was an interpreter for Spanish, English, and French in immigration and customs 6 days a week.
Are you fluent French speaker as well?
Je parle un peu français, mais dis-moi le pratique. You see,
I don't know what you said.
I need practice. Yes, I studied in high school and
so did
college.
I can't remember any of it.
But I need practice. I still remember some Japanese that I learned for a concert I did there. I have a good memory for languages and stuff. So I was working when I joined the band. I was going to school from 8 in the morning to noon. Then I would jump in my car and use it as a sauna on the airport, where I would get on a bus and have to change into a uniform, sometimes in my car, and start working at 1 o'clock till 9 at night, 6 days a week, Sundays included. And then I would teach two nights a week community school guitar from 9:30 to 11:30 at night.
Hard worker.
But I was happy to do it. I had spent my whole adolescence taking care of my dad at home. So to me, it was like, I can do this, I will.
And did you fancy Emilio straight away? Or was that a bit of a slow burner?
Well, he had an older girlfriend. He was 22, she was 36.
No.
And to me, he was just a man, you know, like, and he was my boss. I thought he was cute, and he was a flirt, but not in a bad way, like in a huge flirt with everybody. He's just a flirt personality. He likes to do that. But neither one of us wanted to go there because it gets complicated. The band was going well, but he broke up with his girlfriend, and on July 4th, 1976, we were at a gig, and he said, let's get some air on the third floor. It was 4th of July, Independence Day. There was fireworks going off all over the city. And he told me it was his birthday, to give him a kiss on the cheek. And I said I'd get him a present, and he kept insisting, and I really did want to. So I did, and he turned his face, and that was it.
That was it, all those
years.
There
was no coming
back
from
that. Was it even his birthday, or did he pretend?
He lied.
He lied.
He grabs the technicality. He's latching onto the technicality that his birthday is the 4th, but of March.
Okay. All right. Well, I think after 42 years, we'll let it go.
He was referring to the 4th.
So, Gloria, thank you so much for coming on the show. It has been brilliant talking to you. And you know what? I could talk till next week. The new album, what is it called?
Brazil 305. And if you're wondering about 305, it's the area code of Miami. So it's supposed to be a bridge between Miami and Brazil. But then I found out that there are actually 305 different ethnicities in Brazil. So that was quite something. I will add that to my encyclopedia of useless information. But it's going to be August 13th, and it's got 11 of the big hits that hopefully you've heard somewhere along the line, done in a completely new way, and 4 new songs plus a duet with Carlinhos Brown, Magaleña, that he had done for Sergio Mendes years ago. We redid it. He came to Miami. He's an amazing human being. So it was a lot of fun. Thank you to all my fans that have given me so much love and support through the years. I really do love you.
Thank you very much for such a lovely interview. Love to everybody there in Miami. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Stay healthy, everybody.
Bye-bye. I'm off to put my feet in a bucket of water.
Yes, you watch. You're going to feel better. And then you can thank Dr.
Thanks, bye.
Or Dr. Chiringa, as my family calls me.
Oh.
Dr. Chiringa.